Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch
and inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
From the Town Fair Tire Studio. Final hour, Philbert and Maz here on 98.5 Sports Hub, simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. And it's the final hour of the week of yours truly, Jim Murray, along with Adam Jones, in for the guys. And in my normal spot, we have the deep voice, David Allen Boucher of Sports Radio, the one, the only, Matt McCarthy. I'll talk to you about baseball all night long, but don't piss me off, because I have a mean streak. It's an agenda-free Friday. Again, the most agenda-free. So whatever you want to talk about at 617-779-0985. This agenda-free Friday brought to you by the fine folks at Planet Fitness. The world judges they don't. PlanetFitness.com. I want to reset something, Jones. Your opening take today was Bruins-related, and this was sound you found from courtesy of NBC Sports Boston. Joe Haggerty, who covers the Beast for them, does this like comedians in cars getting coffees type Seinfeld thing with some of the players now, and he was with Brad Marchand within the last week, correct?
Yeah. So they're driving around. It's Christmas theme, holiday season. So he's asking, "What would you get this teammate? What would you get Patrice Bergeron? Oh, I'd get him a superhero cape. Oh, what would you get this guy? What would you get that?" I think he said David Krejci hair plugs. You know, they're cracking jokes the whole time, and then they get to, and I think you'll hear it in the clip. Hags asks if he'd get any teammates. Cole, you know, like kind of a bad teammate sort of thing, and. What'd Marchand say about that?
Would you give any of your teammates Cole in the stocking?
Cole?
Yeah. I know back in the day you probably would have said Chris Kelly would have gotten Cole.
I'd say Chucky McAvoy, just because the kid always seemed to find himself in trouble just being late for everything. You get him a clock.
There you go.
Watch. That kid is late for everything. I've never seen someone late for more planes and bus rides and meetings than that kid.
Anybody now on the team that would make a good Santa?
Chucky's got the same body as Santa.
So he's fat and lazy is what he's saying.
He is fat and lazy, according to Brad Marchand. And, you know, look, I think we've had a lot of fun with the Time Lord, Robert Williams. It's Time Lord 2.0 is what it is. Like, he's late. I've never seen a kid, and maybe some of this is hyperbole on Marchand's part, I've never seen a kid more late for planes and meetings than this kid. Never seen it, is what Marchand said. So this is the future of your franchise that is constantly late for planes and meetings? And I know David Backus downplayed this. He was on earlier with Toucher and Rich this week. He downplayed that, oh, yeah, well, you know, we're keeping him in line. We're making him buy us some dinners and blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. Just the fact that he's downplaying it. We hear teams downplay stuff all the time with their players, including teammates and coaches downplaying everything with Josh Gordon all year long. Not to say that McAvoy has the same issues as Gordon. I think it's much more analogous to, again, the Time Lord. He's late to everything, except the Bruins need this guy. The Celtics don't need the Time Lord. The Bruins need the Time Lord 2.0. He need him.
The future of the franchise.
He's the future of the franchise. Him and Pastrnak are the future of the franchise. So he's wandering around constantly late to stuff and can't figure out being on time. I get it. He's a young kid. He's also an adult.
Yeah, but
he's also a professional.
There's also that cliche of there's a grain of truth in every joke.
100%.
There's got to be something to this.
I mean, I don't think Marchand cracks the joke exactly unless there's something to it. Now, maybe he's overstating it. Maybe he's laying it on a little thick. But David Backus even said, well, yeah, we've disciplined him. He's been on the hook for some dinners. So, again, oh, okay, so he's on the hook for dinners. Is that enough? Is that getting the message through? It doesn't sound like it. So, yeah, a little chubby. Looks like Santa. Late to everything, I'd say that's not an ideal situation for the future of your franchise to be. That's all.
Mike and Wilburn, your thoughts?
Jones, can you repeat that, but do a Fred Snyder from the B-52s impersonation while you're doing it? Because it sounds just as ridiculous as what Carlton says when he gets on the air.
Why is it ridiculous? Really? What's ridiculous about
that? Because it has no bearing on how good he is and what he does for this team. Is Tom Coughlin the coach of the Bruins?
No.
Okay, so what's the point?
The point is that the guy's not acting like a professional. That's not a problem. That's not a problem for the future of your franchise.
Right. You know what? We'll get him a swatch. How's that? We'll get him a swatch. We'll put an extra alarm on it. Maybe we'll get him a couple. Maybe he'll look like Styles.
Was it a big deal when Tyler Seguin was sleeping through stuff?
Well, it depends on if it was alarm clocks or sleeping through the roster. So I don't know what you're talking about.
He slept through. What was it out in Western Canada? He like, oh, it's not a big deal. Oh, my alarm didn't go off. He was late to it. So I don't know. I'd like my guys acting like he's an adult, Mike. He's been in the league for 2+ years.
So what do you want? You want to get on the next episode of Behind the Bee and trash him because he's late a couple times?
I mean,
we already.
It'd be the most entertaining Behind the Bee in a long time.
Yeah, exactly. The only one where they needed to, you know, justify trading a legitimate talent out of town because he didn't, obey the rules. Like Matt Barkowski was on time all the time. You want it straight up for him? Should we do that deal?
No, like, but Mike, you can't acknowledge that it wouldn't be nice for him to show up on time. Why is that such a hard thing to admit?
Because they're joking about, like, you.
They're not just joking. David Backus said they disciplined him. They make him buy team dinners for a reason. It's not just a joke.
Dinners, right? Which is handled a lot differently than what the Tyler Seguin one was, which was the team leaking it to the media and the media making a story about it.
Okay,
agreed.
Somewhat. No, not necessarily. Didn't they discipline Seguin too? Just like Marsham was disciplined. McAvoy's disciplined.
Yes, but the way that that this was leaked out. It wasn't a jokey, like, James Corden-esque, you know, thing where they're joking about it. It was, framed as a legitimate story, in retrospect, you could tell it was them greasing the skids for them to try to get the guy out of town. Like, this is the stuff that I don't understand. He's the future of the franchise,
yeah.
And you're worried about him being tardy. Like that is
no. I'm worried about him acting like a professional. I'm not. It's not about. It's doing the job. You want the kid acting like a professional. I don't get why that's such a hard thing to admit.
I let him go on that. Yeah. No. So what now? Everybody on the team can be.
I just show up late. I just show up whenever you want. You know what? Hey, night show normally starts at 6. I'm going to start showing up at 10 past, which actually is probably exactly what Mike and Woburn would like. Actually.
Merry Christmas to you, Mike. I always appreciate your phone calls and feedback. Jay and Cape Cod, back to the Patriots and this Josh Gordon story from yesterday, which was.
Yeah, I keep coming on to the responsibility of Belichick and this whole mess that's going on with, particularly the away games on the road and so forth, but. I just see him as a tiring and mentally wearing down coach. I mean, there's just too many examples of things this year. It makes me think of that old saying that the old fish rots from the head down. Maybe some of that's going on here, his lack of leadership overall.
I'm sorry, Jay. I'll let you go there a little bit premature. You know, look, in terms of coaching, the one thing that was egregious was having Rob Gronkowski out on the field at the end of the game in Miami, which helped cost him there. No, my bigger beef, I don't think that Belichick's lost it in terms of coaching. I don't. But I wish there was a little bit more in terms of checks and balances when it comes to his moves as a GM, especially when it comes to the inability to draft wide receivers, some of the guys he selected to bring in here as free agents, just throwing around draft picks willy-nilly. Again, Danny Shelton, third-round draft pick, sure, yeah, no, he's going to be the savior up front in this defense. Healthy scratch 3 straight weeks. That's where I question, again, not if he's lost it. I'd like a little bit more oversight.
Yeah, and you know, maybe Bill hasn't lost it in terms of the game passing him by, but maybe he has lost it in terms of the locker room. And he's lost the locker room before. Apologies to Greg Bedard, but he's lost the locker room before. And you know, I don't know that it's as bad of a locker room as it was in 2009, but there seem to be a lot of parallels to that team. And my guess is a lot of the stuff that we now talk about very matter-of-factly with the 2009 team, like, oh, that was such a bad locker room. Did we really know that at the time? We know it now, looking back on it 10 years later. We're like, oh, a bunch of bad guys in there. Everybody wasn't pulling in the same direction. I don't know that you always know about it in real time. I just know something's off with the team, and it's been off for a long time. So my guess is there's something off in the locker room, and my guess is it started with Bill Belichick not taking the full responsibility for the Malcolm Butler decision. Like, that's a hard one to move past. And Bill never publicly, and that we know of behind closed doors, and I haven't heard any players say it. I've only heard players say, yeah, we're still wondering what went on with Malcolm Butler.
Danny Amendola in the car with Mike Reese. Those guys never got an answer.
They
never will.
That's a hard one to win back. It's hard to not apologize for it, not admit you got it wrong, blew a Super Bowl over it, and then come back the next year and expect everybody to listen to you. Like, that's hard to do.
Seems like you've set the people off when it comes to this McAvoy sound. So
From
Brad Marchand. So we'll get to some of these calls coming up here on an agenda-free Friday, but whatever you'd like to discuss.
Hey, again, but it's not just show up whenever you want. What time does the Celtics game start tonight?
8:00.
Yeah, you know what? I'll tell you what. Why don't Kyrie 8:30? Show up at 8:30. Who cares? You show up when you're really talented. Show up whenever you want. 8:30. Show up for the second quarter. Be there by the second quarter, Kyrie. It'll be all good. Same thing with McAvoy. Why even show up in the third period?
6 months. Well, Jones for most of the seasons, the Celtics haven't showed up for these games. So
someone's gonna be up in the 300s next time.
Yeah, I check. Those tickets might be vanished.
Gone from Stewtown to the 300s. You'll be up there with me, Jimmy.
Don't move me to the boardroom.
617-779-0985. The phone number you want to join us here in agenda. Free Friday on Felger and Mazz.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. You're listening to Felger and Mazz.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Second and 10. Brady drops back, throws it down the left side. Wide open. Gordon makes the catch. Slips a hit. Goodbye. 20, 15, 10. Touchdown, Patriots.
I'm pissed. I'm just going to say it. I'm disgusted. I'm sick and tired of this guy getting chances. Listen, here's the bottom line. You're about to get suspended. Now, we can sit up there and say he's an addict. And if you want to sit up there and look at it from that perspective, because that is the reality, I understand those who call for a degree and a level of compassion. But what I would ask people is think for 1 second. We know what he's done to himself. We know how tragic that is. We know what he's cost himself dollars-wise. We know what he's done to his life. We know how it's compromised his family life, except we get all of that. And that's obviously a very, very sad thing that garners all of our contrition to some degree. But the other thing is, look at the amount of people this man has turned down. I don't want to say anything else because I'm so disgusted at such wasted talent.
Back. It's an Agenda Free Friday. Felger and Mazz, Murray and Jones in for the guys for the final time this week. Agenda Free Friday brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges they don't. PlanetFitness.com. Well, shocker. A lot of outcry by the perpetually offended on social media. Stephen A. Smith's commentary on Josh Gordon in that situation yesterday. And, you know, he does wish for the best for him, and I do too. But boy, you know, like, you do wish the best for him, just as an aside, because, like, I hate the gotcha society we live in. So, like, what? If you're offended by what Stephen A. Smith, what he said, you want him to lose his job now? Because you were offended by it? Ugh. Ugh. Twitter, it's such a sewer. As an aside, though, Josh Gordon, gone, suspended by the NFL. You wish him the best. You hope he gets his life in order, obviously. You know, we're not ghouls. I have to think he's never going to get a shot in the NFL again. I don't think he handled it all that well in terms of trying to get in front of it and using this mental health thing that he mentioned in this message on social media yesterday. But just in terms of the X's and O's and the football on the field, feels like most of the guys that cover the team, from Bedard to Perillo to Bob Soucy to Gasper, they all think we're going to get a game against the Bills on Sunday, so who steps up? Is it going to be more Patterson? Is James White hopefully going to be more involved? You know, because it seems like he hasn't done much in the last couple of weeks. Who steps up here?
So I don't know if it's a great matchup against the Bills, but it should be Michelle. Like, it should. What they should do is already rely on the 41-year-old quarterback less, to me. You already should be running the football more. I go with the first-round running back. Like, I would start to do that offensively. I know that's boring. I know you can't just be a run-first team and win in the NFL, or at least it's very difficult to do. I know the Ravens are somewhat doing that. Buffalo's actually been playing really well as a run-first team of late, but I don't know if that's because other teams have checked out or what. So I'm not saying you're a run-first team, but I'd run more. I'd run more, and I'd put more on Sony Michel's plate. I'd put more on really all the running backs' plates. So we've talked a lot about James White. Maybe you can throw it to him more. I thought Burkhead looked good last week against Pittsburgh. So it's not just about Sony Michel. It's not just about my guy at 31. But I'd play Patterson more, but I don't have a high degree of faith that Patterson is going to work out there. So I'd try a different approach, like an entirely different approach, because I think they've looked good running it all year long. I didn't think they ran it near enough against Pittsburgh.
If you're asking those types of questions late in the year, sorry about that, you're already in deep trouble at this point. And the problem is with Sony Michel, great, you put him on the field, you become predictable, because he hasn't done anything in the passing game. You told me, both of you told me, that he was going to do something in the passing game.
Yeah,
because of what you lied to me. I demand an apology.
You know what?
Yeah. Otherwise.
You know who I blame a little bit for that? Brady skipping OTAs, because they look bad.
Fair point.
Getting on the same page early on in the season.
Yeah, Jacksonville, Detroit, and then he was persona non grata.
Yeah, and now I think Brady's just like, well, he's out. We can't use him in the passing game. Well, look, by the time Tom got to training camp and the preseason, Michelle was hurt.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, that wasn't a huge window, but you talk about the weapons that Brady could have worked with. He didn't really get an opportunity to work with Michelle. I think Michelle will be better in the passing game. Melvin Gordon stunk in the passing game for a couple of years, and now he's one of the better pass-catching running backs in the NFL. So I think Michelle will get it. I'm kind of with you, though. I think this year that's not happening. And I'm annoyed that's not happening, but it's not happening.
It's too predictable. When Michelle's in the game, they're running. When White's in the game, they're passing. It's too predictable. You know what's happening. They still haven't found that dynamic can do both guy. They've been searching for a long time. And in year one, Sony Michelle ain't it.
And again, that voice is one Matt McCarthy, who looks and sounds gentle, but there is a deep reservoir of anger under the surface. It's why I refer to him as the Iron Fist in a Velvet Glove. And overall, with this Josh Gordon situation, Matt, you said earlier today, this is just further proof that it's over. Not just this year. You think the whole thing's over.
Oh, the castle's crumbling. Totally. I mean, when at any point during the 17-18-year run with the Patriots, would Bill Belichick and the Patriots have put themselves in a position where they had to rely on the least reliable guy in the NFL? And it leads all back to February and what they did in the offseason. You let Amendola go. You let Cooks go. You don't replace him. You let all these talented players over the years, Jamie Collins, Chandler Jones, Akeem Hicks, just walk out the door and not replace them. All these dependable, reliable players. And you replace them with the likes of Josh Gordon and Danny Shelton and, you know, the next guy on the list, whoever you want to name. How do you fix this in the course of a year or two? Because that's all you got left with Brady. You don't. It's over. It's best to just accept it because it'll be a lot easier to get over if you accept it. Don't deny it. Search your feelings. You know it to be true.
Who's the team that you're going to jump on? Whose bandwagon are you going to jump on? Because, like, once the Pats are out, do you just not watch the playoffs or are you?
Oh, no. I mean, I watch the playoffs. I'm an NFL fan. I mean, but it's not going to be the same.
Because I've been trying to
experience anything like this.
I've been trying to figure out who I'm going to pull for.
Yeah.
I guess the Saints. You know,
because
I really like New Orleans.
I love New Orleans and Drew Brees. Yeah, no, I mean, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who's going to be my team once the Pats get knocked off. I can't with the Chargers. I just can't because of Rivers.
I kind of like the Chiefs. I like the way Mahomes plays.
Yeah, me too. But
it's the AFC.
I can't align myself with the Chiefs.
Why?
Yeah, just their institutionalized loser.
It would defeat your soul.
No, it doesn't. I've heard your theory. Your theory is now everything's been turned upside down in the sporting universe.
It's true. And so yeah, I know, and I hate it. And you know how much I'm still like hanging on by a thread with the things that still exist, like the Chiefs institutionalized losing, and the same with the Atlanta Falcons and teams like that. The Cleveland Browns as perpetual losers, but it looks like they're turning it around.
I have my answer. Cowboys. I don't like the Cowboys, but I have an agenda for this. I want Zeke Elliott. And running back to run wild and win a Super Bowl.
God.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
All right, there it is.
Cowboys.
De facto Dallas Cowboys fan.
Cowboys.
Once the Patriots are knocked
out. How about them Cowboys? Yeah. Cowboys.
Let's go to Dean in Roslindale with a Patriots thought on this Josh Gordon story. Hey, Dean.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
You're doing a great job.
We are.
I'm just curious. With the Patriots, I think that's a good idea. I think you mentioned it about Josh Gordon not being there. I think it's going to make other people step up and do something good that we needed for a while. So I kind of think it's going to be a good thing. And I wouldn't worry about the Patriots. They're going to win the next two games. They're going to be in the playoffs.
All right. Well, there you go, Dean. I hope so. We need some positivity here because it's been pretty dark all week long. Roy in Maine with more Patriot stuff. Go ahead, Roy.
Yes, hi. I've been waiting to get on for you guys for a long, long time. Murray, I'm glad to see you there because I appreciate seeing you a lot more than Felger and Mads because I think they're basically a couple of touch holes. I'd like to just go back on a couple of things, Murray.
Sure.
All the teams in New England, the Patriots, the Red Sox, the Bruins, and who our favorite, the Celtics, we've had all kinds of criticism and stuff, but all these guys, so you seem to make all this stuff after it's all said and done. Well, that's not saying any job's easy, but you know what? You can make criticism stuff after it's all said and done. But you know what? What happened two Super Bowls ago with the Patriots playing Atlanta? Did anybody expect in the third quarter when we was down 28-3 we was going to come back and win that thing? And you made all kind of criticism. I'm going to hang up afterwards and stuff. And the Celtics, we've had a lot of success in our years and stuff. Red Sox, a lot of success. My father, unfortunately, passed away in 1996. He never saw his favorite team, the Red Sox, win the World Series. My grandfather was a Yankees fan,
And all right, Roy, thanks. You know, my mom passed in 99, unfortunately, too. Lifelong Red Sox fan. I remember it like yesterday. The poor woman watching the 86 Red Sox meltdown and her base essentially having a nervous breakdown. It's why I am the way I am as a sports fan. She never saw anyone win here. You know, so the poor woman died without ever seeing any kind of championships here. So it all sucked. But I guess you want less negativity. So, Jimmy, fire up Eminence Front. Let's just get out of here. No more criticism. Fire it up.
The difference is against the Falcons, they were a good team that year. Like, they stink now. So that to me would be the difference. Like, that year, at least they were good. I definitely...
All right, yeah,
All right, fine.
Well,
how's traffic out there?
We're 30 minutes early and wrapping up the show because no more criticism. And that's been it. Well, it's been a hell of a week of shows with you, Jones.
Well, if it's okay to be late, we should be allowed to leave early.
Why not be 30 minutes...
Get the hell out of here.
...in terms of wrapping
Charlie
up
Charlie McAvoy
the show.
Time Lord 2.0. Let's get out of here.
We all got a vacation to start here. That's the end of Felger and Maz for the calendar year 2018.
I hope Arcan's here.
The next... No, we're not. You can stop. We have to still go to 6 o'clock. Damn you. Our poor Arcan stuck in traffic. He was probably like,
what? No!
See? Just keeping it loose here in a real agenda-free
Friday.
It's
a 30-minute Eminence front bed there.
Yeah, right.
I was going to do a 30-minute headline.
Yep. Well, didn't Toucher and Rich let Sports, the album, pretty much run in its entirety before the midday show came in at one point? The album by Huey Lewis and the News. They would play Sports
because
we're a sports station. He played Sports in its entirety, I think, for like 30 minutes before because the guys were late or something like that.
Oh.
Like, show's done at 10. We're out of here. Deuces. More of your calls at 617-779-0985. Anything on the table. You want to yell at Jones about McAvoy? Hey, he should be able to be late. He's the future of the franchise, right? Celtics, you still okay with the fact they lost to the Phoenix Suns on Wednesday night and that Al Horford with his little bit of a gimpy knee? He's going to be fine. We've been told he's going to be fine. Nothing going on with Al. Not playing tonight. Josh Gordon, Patriots, whatever. Is Die Hard in a Christmas movie? Of course it is. 617-779-0985. Again, does Hans Gruber say, it's Hans Gruber, right? He's the enemy?
Yes.
The main villain in that movie. Now I have a machine gun. Ho, ho, ho. It's a Christmas movie. Proof right there. He doesn't say, now I have a machine gun. Happy Easter. 617-779-0985. Matt McCarthy here with his warm, dulcet tones. We'll get you caught up with the Sports Hub headlines and then right to you here on Agenda Free Friday on Felger and Maz.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Agenda Free Friday, Felger and Maz, 98.5 Sports Hub, simulcast, NBC Sports Boston, Jim Murray, Adam Jones, in for the guys for the final time this week. Right to you, your thoughts on anything we've discussed so far here on Agenda Free Friday. Wayne in Grafton wants to talk about Adam Jones and his thoughts on this Charlie McAvoy thing with Brad Marchand sitting in with Joe Haggerty. Go ahead, Wayne.
Yeah, McAvoy, hey, he's a great player, but, you know, the Bruins are going to have to sign him probably to a long contract pretty soon. I know he's got the heart issue. I mean, that's not his fault. That's a physical thing, but he seems to be concussed very easily, so they have to be careful with that. Hopefully they can, bring him along. And Jimmy Stewart, I need your input on something. Adam Jones and Sarge, I think, I mean, you talk about Gronk going to the WWE. What about those two guys? I could picture Adam Jones. Adam, I could picture you with a cape and some black spandex tights. Unfortunately, I think about it way too often, if you know what I mean.
I do.
There you go. That's a dirty
Adam guy. Jones would be a tremendous villain in the world of wrestling.
I feel like I could do the microphone part. I feel like everything else would be real tough.
You could cut a promo. Easy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Yeah. The actual wrestling, not my forte.
Yeah, we can teach you how to bump, Jones.
Bob in Boston with the same thing on Charlie McAvoy. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Jones, I couldn't agree with you more. Like my middle school principal always said, be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. You know, if you're relying on that kid to be the face of your franchise, you're not in a good place. And I'll be honest, when I saw him in the opening press conference when they introduced him in that big Bruins uniform and you guys called him Chubby Charlie.
I will say, though, when you're talking about just being, again, you know, I guess some people out there feel like if you're talented, you can just show up whenever you want. That's all. I'll just show up on time.
Rob in the car on the end of the Patriots dynasty. Do you agree with Matt McCarthy? It's over, Rob?
Oh, it's all over. I think that, you know, we're going to lose probably one of these two games at the end of the season. We're not going to win a Super Bowl with Brady again. We need to draft the next guy, tamper through two more seasons of 10-6 or 11-5, and then force Brady to retire in like 2 years. Because he's not going to do it on his own. Kraft is going to be like, hey, dude, you got to get out. We need a future, and you are not it.
Do you find it a little bit surprising that we are at this point where they haven't clinched the division yet? Like, that it still is on the table, that somehow they...
No, like, because they have. You know, like, maybe they haven't mathematically, but the division's over. They're not going to blow the division.
I hope.
You guys really think... They're not going to blow the division.
You guys really think that they're just going to blow out the Bills on Sunday?
No.
I'm not as convinced.
No,
yeah, I'm not so convinced.
I kind of think so.
They'll win these next two games, but... I think they
But
might.
You think you'd take the Bills against the spread. You'd take the Bills as well.
I think
13 and a half is too much.
I think 13 and a half is way too high. Way too high.
I kind of don't.
They escape this one by the skin of their teeth on Sunday. They do.
That
Bills team, I'm not crazy about the matchup.
I've been saying the Big Jim
all
week.
Over the place.
I agree with Vegas on this one. I thought Vegas had a crap line last week against Pittsburgh. I agree with Vegas on this one. And if it's close, I'm off next week, so we can spare everyone's ears around the greater New England area. But I would be just as upset and think that it would tell you just as much as the Patriots losing to Pittsburgh. If Buffalo plays them close, that's telling in and of itself.
Thomas in New Hampshire has a Celtics thought on Gordon Hayward. Go ahead, Thomas.
Hey, guys. Merry Christmas.
You too.
I want to talk about the Gordon Hayward thing because I agree with you guys with the 40 games. I think he just needs to get a hard foul and land on that ankle once, and maybe they'll snap him out of his softness, whatever you say. He's just so soft going to the paint right now.
So I was just reading some commentary from him about, I guess, a couple of years ago he had a few dunks on Giannis in a game, and he hasn't really dunked on anyone in a game. He's only dunked 5 times all season in 30 games. I'm not giving him 40 games, by the way. Big Jim, you're giving him until Christmas.
Yep.
Gasper's the one who gave him the arbitrary 40 game deadline. I was just reading this in the last break. Hayward said, there's still some things I lack in confidence on, and I think my leg is probably strong enough to do it. It's just something I have to go out there and experience it.
Well, that just by saying probably,
it's definitely strong enough.
Well, it just goes to show you
your leg is medically, it's clearly strong enough,
but he still has a lack of confidence,
right?
And him coming back from that injury. And this is what's been frustrating, because I thought that a couple of Saturdays ago in the game against Minnesota, that he kind of had this epiphany.
That was the game.
I think he either missed a dunk or a layup early, and you could see it pissed him off because his game changed. That was the night that he went for 30, and he was more aggressive going to the rack. And it was like, okay, like Gordon Hayward finally figured out, and he had follow up a couple of good games. And then since then, it's been inconsistent again, and it's like you can tell there's something there. Maybe he's feeling something. I don't know, but there is a continued inconsistency in his play, and I think that this injury is still bugging him out.
His final season in Utah, he averaged a dunk a game.
Yeah. So again, to me, it's mental though. It's not physical. Like your leg is clearly strong enough to do it, Gordon. So you mentally need to get over that hump, which, as I said earlier, Paul George did a hell of a lot quicker than you did.
Cam in the car with the Patriots thought you're next here on an Agenda Free Friday. Hey, Cam.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good.
I think this is like the most underplayed story with the whole Patriots saga is the fact that we should have one of these four rookie quarterbacks sitting on our bench. I mean, seeing Josh Allen this week, I know he hasn't had a great season, but we could have had him if Bill just answers the freaking phone and takes the Browns second first round pick. And I think it's like the most underplayed story. And would you rather have one of these guys at $5 million a year for the next 5 years or Jimmy Garoppolo at 30? Keep in mind he has 2 self-inflicted injuries in, 12 games? That's all I got, guys. Have a great holiday.
You too.
Happy New Year.
You too, Cam. Thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, the Garoppolo thing, I will always be Team Brady on that.
Me too.
They had to keep Brady. You couldn't get rid of, you couldn't move on from him for myriad reasons, but more than anything else, the high level of play that he has had in recent years. You couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. So the Jimmy Garoppolo trade, I was okay with. It was the return.
Right.
I don't know how anyone
you're
could
okay with
the return.
Trading Garoppolo.
Yeah.
What you're not okay is what they ultimately traded him for.
Yeah.
Like I'm with that 100%.
A handful of magic beans, basically.
And from the timing of it, the timing was awful when they decided to trade it. The time to do it was at the draft or in the offseason, but probably at the draft, not at the stupid trade deadline. So like they butchered that part of it, and I understand when I say they, ownership has a hand in that. I think Bill, once ownership told him, hey, look, we're not just obviously handing things off to Garoppolo next year. I still would have tried to push it if I were Bill. And if you lose him for nothing, just a compensatory pick, then you lose him for nothing, just a compensatory pick. But I think they butchered that a lot of different ways. To me, yes, it was about, not that they traded him. I had zero problem with them trading for him. I advocated for them to trade Garoppolo. What they traded him for, what they got in return, was not near enough.
I'm just sitting here beating myself up over that terrible magic bean analogy. But then again, no such thing as magic beans. So you see, they got nothing in return, basically. No. Zach in Auburn wants to talk about the Celtics and their lack of rebounding. Again, they really didn't have an answer for DeAndre Ayton the other night. 18 boards, 23 points, and that ugly loss to the Suns. Go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Great, great. Thanks for taking my call. First-time caller. You're doing a great job this week, by the way.
Hey, thanks.
I just wanted to call and discuss the lack of rebounding. I mean, we were out-rebounded by 20-plus boards the other night. 20-plus. Now, I know Morris was out and Horford was out, but, you know, we're playing the number one rebounding team in the NBA tonight in the Bucks, and Giannis is going to go off. I just have a feeling. He's probably going to have 20 rebounds. If Ayton had 18 the other night, Giannis will have 20-plus. And that's just the way it's going to be. I want to hang up and listen to what you guys have to say. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad. Thank you very much.
You too, Zach. All the same. Happy holidays and a happy new year as well. Well, this is why I had a beef with Al Horford and why I want a real diagnosis on Al Horford. He was just talking about, you know, how good the Bucks are when it comes to rebounding. And you got out rebounded the other night. Again, eight in the numbers he put up were ridiculous. You had no answer there. So you're diminished in the front court because of guys dealing with injury. Marcus Morris not playing tonight. Okay. And Al Horford missing his seventh game with knee tendonitis. Knee tendonitis. I get knee tendonitis because I'm an old and I used to run and I have flat feet. So that's bound to happen. But you know what you can do with knee tendonitis? Work on it a little bit, put some Biofreeze on it, and you can go back to a light jog and you can work. And then as a professional athlete, you have the best trainers on the planet to take care of you. So I would think with just
access to lots of Biofreeze, I'd imagine.
In fact, I now think that they're a sponsor of the Celtics. Yeah. So I'm sure you have jars and jars of Biofreeze, Al. So I would think if that's what you're just dealing with, because I've been told time and again, it's just knee tendonitis. And Danny Ainge was on with Tucker and Rich about a week ago. Al's fine. Just a little bit of rest. He's missing his seventh game tonight. What's going on with Al Horford? They're going to get out-rebounded tonight. You don't really have a front court. Okay, Time Lord will get some minutes, but you need some more help there. Al should be playing in this game if he just has knee tendonitis. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I said earlier, I think a lot of my issues with his contract when he first signed it was that he's not a max-level player, and he's not. I mean, he just isn't. And if another team was going to give him the contract, Jimmy, then another team would have been the stupid idiot team that gave him a big contract.
The Warriors and the Thunder.
That's fine. Well, then they would have been dumb and saddled with this deal, like the Celtics are about to be dumb and saddled with this deal. But the second piece of it is that he's 32 now, and there's a ton of mileage there, and it was predictable that he was going to break down. So, yeah, maybe break down is too strong, but it's predictable that he was going to be off the floor more and less effective, and it's going to take him longer to get back when he's on the floor. So that was the second piece to why I didn't like it. I'm not overpaying for a screen setter and crisp bounce passes, but there's also that, the fact that he is going to wear down. If you don't like breakdown, how about wear down?
Let's go to Dean Roslindale for Jones. You're next here on an Agenda-Free Friday.
Hi, guys. You're doing a great job. Just two quick comments. Uh-huh. One is I have tendonitis, like severe tendonitis, so it could be really painful, but you can play through it.
If you don't mind my asking, Dean, what age are we talking? What age range are we talking here?
What? How old am I?
Yeah, roughly.
I'm 55.
Okay, so Al Horford has 55-year-old knees. Okay, good.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't, but you got to realize other things, too.
Well, anyway, what's your point
there? People don't heal the same way. You know, one more quick thing about the Bruins, about people being late.
Yep.
Everybody's a little bit late. Maybe he was smoking that day. No big deal. Should be legal anyway.
So now Charlie McAvoy is the next one that's into weed. Okay. You know, that's probably the best way to wrap up an Agenda-Free Friday here in Felger and Mass. We don't really need any more phone calls after that one. So with that, we will wrap up with the final word coming up next here on an Agenda-Free Friday on Felger and Mass.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's The Final Word on Felger and Maz on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires? There's only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody. All right, we have a best of Squeaky Maz today, and kind of fitting on a day where the Dodgers make a big trade in baseball. Curious to get Maz's thoughts on how he feels about the Dodgers and the city of L.A.
Can we eliminate any doubt now that Clayton Kershaw is a choking dog?
Okay.
Really, Mike? 1-5 with an ERA over 5 in his postseason career. 1-5. Did you guys see that home run yesterday?
Yes.
Yep.
Tell me that wasn't the worst piece of crap curveball you've ever seen thrown.
That was a cookie.
In that situation. What a garbage pitch that was. So how does a guy who has his ability, coming on his time of year, at his age, throw that pitch at that time? It doesn't add up.
How do you feel about that whole team?
First of all, I root against them every year. It's a team that has a lot of talent and no hype, which reminds you a little of, I don't know, the 2011 Red Sox, maybe? Huh? You beat all the crap-bag teams during the regular season because you're just better than they are. But when it comes to nut-cutting time, and you actually have to have something beyond talent to win, they can't win.
You can't win!
How do you feel about that manager?
I'm not a huge Mattingly fan, and the more I watch him, the more I think that I don't understand how he still has a job. To not be able to get to the World Series and really win it with that team, it, to me, is a reflection partly on the manager. They've gotten up to some bad starts in some of these years. They go through periods where they're comatose. To me, that's on the manager. Can we eliminate any doubt now that Clayton Kershaw is a choking dog? Huh?
Well, that was a nice little surprise. I thought we were going to get Maz eviscerating L.A. from earlier this year. The city of L.A., which he's never been more correct about, that worthless cesspool of a city.
And he's never been more correct about the Dodgers, too, and that's from when Beatles
yes.
was on.
I was going to say,
that's my
ago.
Fault. I pulled the wrong one.
No, it's
I heard the giggling there in the beginning, and I was like, that's not Big Jim. That was Beatles.
It's still appropriate.
Surprisingly accurate.
The Dodgers just proved again in this World Series against the Red Sox, choking dogs.
Mattingly, Roberts, it doesn't matter. Just right. apply the same.
Who was involved in that trade today? Yasiel Puig?
Kemp. Kyle Farmer, who's an infielder, and Alex Wood. Homer Bailey goes to Los Angeles. All those players that I just mentioned.
I legitimately feel bad for those guys. Those guys, especially Puig, who came up in the Dodger system. You've been in L.A. And Matt Kemp, who's like been with some of the finest women in the world. You've gone from women, weed, and weather to skyline chili. Like, Merry Christmas. Oh, God. Retire.
Doesn't Maz hate Cincinnati, too?
Oh, yeah. What a wretched city. Oh, my God. Awful.
But Puig gets his hitting coach back, Jim.
Oh, great. Okay, that's going
to
do it
and
for us.
And the Dodgers are going to sign Bryce Harper to have him platoon with something named Hernandez in the World Series against a left-handed pitcher next year.
Bryce Harper not getting in that bat here because Kiki Hernandez has to get this precious at bat. Matt McCarthy.
The advanced metrics say Harper doesn't hit well against lefties.
The nerds.
The vorp.
Jimmy Stewart and Billy Lanny behind the glass. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Good year of broadcasting with you guys. It's been a fun week, Jones.
Very fun and very enjoyable.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
You got some time off? Yeah. You got some time off? I'll see you in the new year there, Big Jim.
Still a few more days. You can catch me tonight from 7 to 9. Finn McCool's on High Street in Boston with Miller Lite. Come win one of these ugly holiday sweaters from Miller Lite. So catch me over there tomorrow morning. Gasper and Murray. Post game with Beadle on Sunday. Doing an appearance on Sports Sunday with NBC Sports Boss. I still got a lot of work before vacation. So, you got to grind, right? Can't knock the hustle.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.